and 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Last Sunday morning I preached about blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This word meek is probably, in my estimation, one of the more difficult words in Scripture to really communicate its meaning to the reader or to the hearer. I looked it up in a whole lot of different Greek reference sources and Hebrew sources, and I tried to come up with a composite meaning where I could, as best I could, try to demonstrate in biblical terms, and after all that's what we're doing, what it really means to be meek. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It's a promise that God gives to people that are meek. And so certainly this is a desirable characteristic for us after we are saved. And here he was speaking to the first New Testament church. These are the Beatitudes. And he was teaching this first New Testament church on the side of a hill or in Galilee how to live and what was important in life and what the eventual consequence or reward of their conduct would be. So when it says blessed, makarios, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, if we believe that, to understand what meek means ought to be very important to us. I know it was very important to me because I am a man who preaches and teaches God's Word. I am a man who's going to have to stand before Christ, and I'm going to be judged for whether or not this characteristic was developed in me by my submission to Christ. So as close as I'm able to define it, this is what meek means. The word meek is used in several areas of the Bible. It's difficult to portray at best. It does not mean, in most cases, a wimp. Now, someone that is a wimp, by Webster's dictionary, there are certain categories of people that are wimps that are identified as meek. But that's not really what the biblical definition of a meek person is. It's not a wimp. On the other hand, someone with a high self-esteem or great confidence in their ability to accomplish whatever task assigned them is just the opposite of what the word means in most cases. One of the problems that all church members face is looking upon themselves as specially talented people who thank God they're there, or without them the church would collapse. These people have high self-esteem. They have great confidence in their own ability. It may be in their preaching ability. It may be in their teaching ability. It may be in their leadership ability. It may be in their administrative ability. It may be in any area of endeavor within the church. And a person who has a lot of confidence in themselves to work out a problem in the church or to do something that requires manual labor in the church or mental effort, and they think that I can handle it. I can handle it. That's not a meek person at all. Now, a person may be talented in many areas, and they may well be far better equipped, both mentally and physically, to carry out whatever task it is that God wants carried out. But a great deal of Christian service is judged on the merits of the attitude that the person has, rather than the accomplishment of the actual work itself. So a meek person is not a wimp. He's not somebody that has a very high self-esteem, a great confidence in his or her ability. A meek person is one who has great confidence in the ability of a higher authority. And because of this confidence, is always willing to obey the advice or instructions of that authority. If you have an authority above you, and the authority above you is all-knowing, perfect, complete, thorough, all-powerful, all-wisdom, then a meek person will acknowledge to himself or herself, it's all by his power, it's all by his wisdom, it's all by his purpose. And a meek person won't just say that with his lips, he will truly believe it in his or her heart. He is one who recognizes and accepts his ineptitude. Now, a lot of churches today are looking for strong leaders, particularly in Southern Baptist ranks. They want strong leaders who have dynamic abilities and who convey an outward veneer of self-esteem and confidence, and if you're around them, they just radiate their ability to get the job done. That's not a meek person. A meek person is one who recognizes and accepts his ineptitude. Now, if you're sitting there and say, well, I'm not inept. My friends, you are compared to God. And when you start comparing yourself to Christ, to God, you are completely inept. A meek person is one who has more confidence in God every year and less confidence in himself. He is one who recognizes and accepts his ineptitude, therefore being more than, that should be than, being more than willing to be in submission to the higher power that does what he cannot do himself. That word that should be then. Therefore, being more than willing to be in submission to the higher power that does what he cannot do himself. Now, a person may have tremendous talent and natural ability. And he may be a person who can get anything done any time he wants it done. And such a person, if he's not careful, will offend more people and do greater harm to God's work than if he had never even bothered to attempt to do God's work, because he or she will rub people the wrong way and they never will understand what they're doing, and they'll be trying desperately to work for God and looking down at everybody else and saying, why aren't they doing the same? A meek person is one who recognizes and accepts his ineptitude, therefore being more than willing to be in submission to the higher power that does what he cannot do himself. True meekness, or humility, only comes to those who face the reality of what they are without the power of their God. True humility, true meekness, and the two are intertwined and interlaced, they're inseparable. True meekness or humility only comes to those who face the reality of what they are without the power of their God. True meekness is knowing the source of your power is not in yourself and, understanding this, never misusing or abusing it. Now take a look at these definitions where I've taken many reference sources and consider the life of Christ. Did he not say repeatedly, it is not I that do these works, but my Father? Did he not constantly say, of myself I can do nothing? And yet of all the men who ever lived that was naturally talented, Jesus Christ was naturally talented. He had more administrative ability than any man who ever lived. He had greater preaching ability than any man who had ever lived. No human being has ever lived that had more physical characteristics and attributes of talent to be used for God. And yet this man, Christ Jesus, humbled himself and became submissive even to death. And he was continually pointing out that it was by the power of his Father in him that the works were accomplished. And he did not lie. He could not lie. He was the Son of God. He indicated that it was the Father that was performing the works, not he himself, the man Christ Jesus, But the living Son of God Almighty in the person of God's Spirit that indwelled him and empowered him. And he did not have a high opinion of himself. He had a high opinion of God. The Apostle Paul, when I first looked at his life as a young man, I thought he was very hard, harsh, cruel. Not cruel, but harsh. But Paul was a very humble man. Because Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He realized that he had no power. And those weren't just empty words with Paul. It was the truth. He faced the reality of life. A person that faces the reality of life and doesn't have a whole lot of confidence in themselves, even though they may have a multiplicity of talents, is a person that has learned wisdom from God. Because God knows everything. God has the power to do everything. And God always knows what's best. And a meek person is one who simply learns to turn the problem over to God, to trust in God, to be in obedience to God, and to trust God for the outcome. He's meek toward God. Now Jesus, you could hardly call Jesus a wimp when he went on the Temple Mount with a scourge and drove out the money changers. You could hardly call Moses a wimp when he cried out to the nation of Israel, "Hear you rebels!" And he was a very strong man. But the truth of the matter is, Moses, when he came before God at the burning bush, after God kept trying to get him to go talk to the nation of Israel, he had no confidence in himself. He said, I can't speak, Lord. And the Lord gave Aaron as the spokesman. And he said, Lord, how will I know when I go there that they will follow me? And he said, tell them that I am hath sent thee. And so Moses was a man who learned to have his confidence in the God of Israel. So was Jesus. The difference being, Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, and Moses was a sinful man. Moses was the meekest man on the earth in his time, but later on he was replaced, and Christ became the meekest man who ever lived. Psalm 37:9-11. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, who are the meek? They're those that wait upon the Lord. They're those that have confidence in the Lord. They're those that serve the Lord. They're those that have patience with God working out a problem. They're those that have confidence in God working it out in His time and His way. They are those who have faith in the power of God and not in themselves. That's the kind of people God saves. And that's the kind of people after they're saved that God uses. Evildoers are proud and haughty and arrogant. Evildoers are the opposite of those who are meek. Those that wait upon the Lord are those who have confidence in the Lord. And they shall inherit the earth. They that wait on the Lord are the meek. Verse 10, Psalm 37:9-10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. In our work, I don't call the people that have high self-esteem and tremendous confidence in their own ability, I certainly don't classify them as wicked people, nor is this talking about it. But there is a lesson to be learned in God's service after you become a part of his church. As a part of his church, you're supposed to learn something. You're supposed to learn how great God is, and how insignificant you are without him, but how great you become with him. And the meek are those that wait upon the Lord, that serve the Lord, that have patience with the Lord. The reason I know that's the case is because verse 11 does what is so common in Hebrew terminology. They repeat the same thing twice so you can define what they were talking about in the first place. Verse 9, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So why did I say those were the meek with such confidence? Because in verse 11, God identifies that principle. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. There is no peace for a preacher, a pastor, a teacher, a worker in the church that is continually trying to please God Go away. There just isn't any peace. And I feel so sorry for preachers and pastors and teachers and workers in churches who have never learned the principle of going ahead and doing what God said and not being concerned because it doesn't turn out the way that Alice in Wonderland stories turn out, where they all lived happily ever after. There's an inner peace to a meek person. They have tremendous confidence in God's ability to do what's right. I didn't say to do what they wanted, to do what's right. And if you don't have a high opinion of yourself, then you'll have to admit to yourself that you don't always know what's right. And when you pray for something, and you ask for something, and you say, if it be thy will, what you're saying is, Lord, I want you to answer this in the way that's best. And then when God answers your prayer, accept it. And accept it as best. That's a meek person. A meek person is someone who waits on God, someone who has confidence in God, someone who's in obedience to God, and someone who has confidence in God and not in themselves. Now, I realize this is contrary to what they've taught in most churches, and I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. The Bible teaches this, and I'm rather proud of it. Psalm 76:9. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When a person finally gets to the point where they see they don't have any power to save themselves, then they know they're lost. When you finally get to the point where you say, Lord, I can't do this. Every time I try to do that, I'm helpless. And you acknowledge your own helplessness, your own ineptness, and you see yourself as helpless. You have to come to God with a broken spirit and a broken heart. And that's what a meek person is. It's someone who acknowledges the complete power and wisdom of a higher authority, their own ineptness. And as a meek person, they come to God, trusting in God and the higher power to save them from what they are. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, every person who has ever been saved in this dispensation of time had to come to God through repentance. And the repentance is an indication of their acknowledgement of their ineptitude in obeying the standard of God's righteousness. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be there because we came as helpless individuals, trusting in the power of a higher authority, Christ, to save us. And we will be judged for how much spiritual growth we attained after that toward a pattern of attitude of meekness in our hearts and lives. Psalm 147:6. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. There's coming a day when all the saved are going to be lifted up to heaven. That's not talking about that. It's talking about God lifting up meek people to positions of authority. It's not talking about climbing a hierarchical chain in an ABA association or a PDQ association or an FOB or a COD or an IOU or a BMA or whatever type of organization. It's not talking about climbing a hierarchical altar. It's talking about a person that wants to serve God. God will lift that person up. That person will be respected by the people that he deals with. And that person will be admired because he does not have confidence in himself. The same is true with either sex. A man or a woman who is a person who acknowledges their own ineptness before God and before man. And there is a sense in the people that are around them that the person trusts God to do the work, to do what's necessary to carry out the mission. And that person merely has faith in God's ability. That's the kind of a person people like to be around. Nobody likes to be around a know-it-all. Nobody likes to get pushed into doing things. People like to follow leaders like Moses who are meek. People who don't have a high opinion of themselves. People who don't have a lot of confidence in themselves, but have tremendous confidence in God. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Psalm 149:4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. As I said earlier, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. All those who come to him have to come to him with a meek attitude. What is a meek attitude? Recognizing your own condition and acknowledging it takes the power of someone else to deliver you from what you are. Furthermore, in this particular verse of Scripture, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. That's really talking about spiritual growth and what follows that colon. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The most beautiful thing in one of God's churches is a person that doesn't have a high opinion of themselves, but have a tremendous faith and a growing confidence in God's ability to solve whatever situation and problem arises. And he will beautify, make attractive, make manifest the meek with the attributes that they have grown toward after he has eternally saved them from their lost condition. Moses 12:3-7. Moses 12:3 and then verse 7. Now the man Moses was very meek of all the men which were upon the face of the earth. He was meek in the sense that he didn't have any confidence in his own ability to speak correctly to the people of Israel. So in the burning bush, God appointed Aaron. He didn't have any confidence in himself to lead the people. So the Lord told him, tell him, I am has sent thee. But Moses had tremendous confidence in God. He believed that God could do it. And I wasn't there at Sinai, nor were you. But I have a strong suspicion that the people in those areas of time where they weren't trying to rebel looked upon Moses as a man who had tremendous confidence in God. And Moses isn't the one who delivered Israel. God's the one who delivered Israel. The presence of the angel of the Lord, the presence of the Shekinah glory, the imminence of God is what got them from the land of Goshen and Egypt into the promised land. And Moses knew what he was. An instrument made by God, no more and no less. He did not have a high opinion of himself. And he's a good model to follow. He was a man who did not see himself as someone who was delivering the people by himself. He was someone who looked upon himself as a man who was being used of God for a purpose, but that in the end, God would be the one who accomplished whatever that was done that was acceptable. Verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Now he's talking about the tent or tabernacle in the wilderness. So if Moses was meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth at this time in history, in the Old Testament, then I think you'll have to acknowledge that a major attribute, perhaps the major aptitude, the main aptitude, the greatest attribute that is demonstrated by a meek person is faithfulness. A person that is meek is faithful, and they're faithful in all of God's house. Now Moses was a man who took the instructions from God, submitted himself to those instructions, and by the leadership of God had them build a tent in the wilderness exactly to those specifications. He was a man who was in obedience to a higher authority throughout all of his life, with one exception. And not one exception, he paid a price for it. Wasn't all that great a price, and it's not worth mentioning here. But Moses is the epitome in the Old Testament of a meek man, and the attribute of a meek man is faithfulness. If someone is not faithful to worship and serve God in the manner that God directs, then he or she is not a meek person. In Hebrews 3:1-3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now God is going to ask you to consider two people. The oldest One, in time, as far as physical time is concerned, of course, God's, the Son is eternal, but one is an Old Testament person, Moses. He was the meekest man in the Old Testament. The other man is the meekest man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. And he says, wherefore, holy brethren, writing to this Hebrew church somewhere around the Mediterranean, partakers of the heavenly calling, he says, consider, gaze attentively on the apostle, the appointed one, and high priest of our profession, the profession of faith that we made, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. The major characteristic of a person that is meek, they're a person who has tremendous confidence in carrying out God's instructions explicitly. When God says, say this, they say that. When God says, do this, they do that. When God says, make it this way, they make it this way. When God says, worship this way, they worship that way. When God says, teach them this, they teach them this. Whatever God says, in submission to a higher authority, they have a meekness toward God, and they do not try to interject their own ideas and their own opinions. They try to do exactly what the higher authority stated. Jesus Christ was both man and God. And Jesus, the man, was always faithful to do everything that his Father said. Moses failed at times because he was a sinful man. But this man, that is Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. It was God. It was the Son of God. It was the Logos. It was Christ incarnate before the actual appearance in the manger in Bethlehem that was instrumental in the instructions given by Moses, who built the tabernacle in the wilderness. And the one who gave the instructions is greater than the one who built it. The meekest man who ever lived was Jesus Christ. The meekest man of his day was Moses. And both were faithful. In Deuteronomy 18:18-19, Moses, the meekest man of that day, spoke of a man who God would raise up long before God ever brought him in a manger in Bethlehem. Deuteronomy 18:18-19. And I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. That was, of course, a prediction of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, hundreds of years before he ever came. And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto God, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus did not add his own thoughts to what he said. He spoke directly what God said, and he didn't talk about what God said. He said what God said. There are preachers today who preach about this book, and there are preachers who preach this book. It is my prayer by the grace of God I'll die being a man who preaches this book and doesn't waste his time preaching about this book. That's one of the reasons I put the scriptures on the screen. You're going to be judged by that book, and I'm going to be judged by it. And Christ was a meek man. He was constantly in obedience to a higher authority, and he spoke all that the Father commanded him. He did not change it. He did not alter it. And we are going to be judged by those words. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So if you don't know all the things that Christ had to say, you need to learn them. You say, well, if I don't learn them, I won't be accountable for them. You're going to be judged harshly for not having an interest in the Word of God. I would strongly recommend that you attend a church where the things that Christ taught and preached are in practice. Matthew 2, 1, 4, and 5. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and setting upon an ass, and a coat the fold of an ass. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, meekness is not a characteristic, and I'm going to preach the other side of this tonight. That's sheet number one, Lord willing. But meekness is not a characteristic that is limited to saved men and women. You know what makes a good soldier? Someone who's in submission to a higher authority. That's the way the work gets done. In the years that I worked and labored for this government, there were many orders that I received that I did not like. But I was subject to a high authority. And in meekness, I carried out the dictates of the higher authority. Unfortunately, the higher authority that I was under wasn't perfect. For a person to be saved, a lost person has to come to Christ in a meek way. There just isn't any other way. Meekness is coming, recognizing your own ineptness, your own inability, your own helplessness. So this morning, if you see yourself as someone who doesn't know where heaven is, doesn't know how to get there, doesn't really know whether you're going to heaven or hell, are uncertain about what you have to do to get there. Maybe you've tried and tried and tried, and maybe you've wondered and wondered and wondered, and you want to do whatever it takes to go to heaven, but you're just thoroughly confused on what it takes, and you're not certain. Well, I'm going to tell you what it takes. It takes the power of God. And you have to put yourself in submission to a higher authority and acknowledge your own inability to save yourself. The attributes of meekness involve an awareness of your own total helplessness and confidence in God's ability to do what He said. Almost 2,000 years ago, one lone, single, solitary man climbed a hill to Golgotha. And there he was brutally beaten, had already been brutally beaten, was maligned, insulted, and had nails driven through his hands and feet. There he suffered, he bled, he died. He culminated all that was necessary to save your soul. Your faith in what He did is your only hope. Your faith that He's been resurrected and alive is your only hope. There is nothing you can do to justify yourself before God, to sanctify yourself before God, to make yourself acceptable before God. There is nothing you can do except trust Jesus and what He's already done. This morning, I want to ask you an honest question. Are you willing to come to Christ with the attitude of a person who is meek, who acknowledges his or her helplessness, and is willing to trust in the higher power of God in Christ to save you? If you are, God will save you. If you aren't, then you've made your own choice, and He won't. Maybe you're a church member here this morning. Maybe you're someone that's just whittling and wasting away your life. Maybe you have a lot of confidence in your own ability to please God, but you've just never really made that final step and decided, I'm going to commit my life in serving God and being faithful to have this attitude, blessed are the meek, or they shall inherit the earth. As we have a silent moment of prayer, I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting to look in your own heart. And I'm going to ask you this morning to question your own heart. Am I saved? Do I know Christ? And if you don't, I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting to ask Jesus Christ to save you from what you are, realizing that he's the only one who can, and knowing that he died for you so that he could. As we have these few silent moments to give you an opportunity to pray. Heavenly Father, if someone this morning has trusted Jesus by asking him to save, then Lord, I know in their heart there is rejoicing even now. And I pray they'll share this, Lord, by coming forward and acknowledging this morning they've trusted Jesus. Lord, for those of us who already know Jesus as Savior, Lord, help us to be in submission to your will as your word has directed in your church. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. As Johnny comes, as the song leader and pianist come, I've shown you God's word. We're all going to have one stanza. Just one stanza. So if you're planning on the second, there won't be one. And I hope, if God's Spirit's dealing with you, I hope you'll come. What number?
17.